If you got your Bible, I'm just going to read one verse, Acts, the 9th chapter and the 31st verse. Amen. Thank you for all that you do to make it happen. There has been so much work go on around this church. I am just so thankful, and I appreciate I don't know how to say thank you enough for what everybody has done. It's just been overwhelming to think about all the man hours that's gone into this place and people staying, and it's just been a miracle. We're standing here in the beautiful sanctuary that the Lord has given to us. Amen. I want to take care of it. Amen. I believe God gives people things and He expects them to be a steward of them. And then when you're a good steward, I believe the principles teach us that we get more. Amen. Amen. So when we learn how to take care of what we got and appreciate what we got, don't tear up what we got, amen, God will give us more. Works in finances, it works in everything. Amen. God is a blesser and God is a giver. And I appreciate, amen, a testimony today that God has, He's done miraculous things. I'll never forget the first service I was in Hot Springs. Matter of fact, last Sunday, I believe, was the 11th year. The first service, the two ladies that went here were gone to a homeschool something, and there were two men and two children. Amen. At the first service in the basement of a house that when it rained, water came across the carpet and we vacuumed it up, and then we'd start having church again. And I remember thinking, God, if you're for us, who could be against us? If prayer worked in North Little Rock and everywhere else I've ever been, seen prayer work, it'll work in Hot Springs. And we started praying. Amen. And here we are, and we've been here a week and a half, and it looks like there ain't a whole lot more people can fit in this church. Amen. God's doing awesome things. Amen. I hope you're ready to hear the Word of God today. Is anybody hungry for it? Amen. Amen. Hunger makes all the difference in the world. Amen. I've sat through some meals that I endured, and then I've sat through some of them that I enjoyed every second of. Amen. I love food, but there's a food called pho that tastes like wintergreen ramen noodles. And I've sat through that and suffered through it before. And then I've ate things that I was wishing I could get more of. And I hope today that you're not thinking, here we go again. We'll just try to survive through this wintergreen ramen noodles. But I hope you're hungry and your taste buds want the Word of God. Hallelujah. The Word of God's what's going to save you. The Word of God is what will prick your heart and make you change. Amen. And I'm thankful for it today. Acts 9 and 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified. Everybody say edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord. Everybody say the fear of the Lord. And in the, everybody say the comfort of the Holy Ghost. In the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Amen. The key to revival. Hallelujah. Are you seeing it? It's the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. I want to preach for a little while from this title, Fear and Comfort. Amen. We need them both. Amen. Fear and comfort. We need both of them. Amen. Can you set your Bibles down and lift your hands to the Lord? Lift your voices to the Lord. Come on, let's ask God. Come on, close your eyes all across this house and cry out to God. With all your heart, God, we need you in this place. Come on, if it would be appropriate, why don't you reach over and join with somebody? Pray together with them. Hallelujah. Come on, I want to be changed every day, God. I want to be helped every day. Hallelujah. I want to be strengthened every day. Come on, hold on to what you're feeling. I want to be changed every day, God. If there's more, I want it. God, if you got more gifts, I want it. If there's more doors opening, I want them, God. Come on, I want everything with my name on it, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on now, in a way of worship, put your hands together for Jesus. Come on, we're praising the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I'm just going to teach for a little while. And, amen. Maybe preach a little bit before it's all over. Amen. But I want this church to be grounded in truth. Amen. I don't want you to come behind in anything. Amen. I've been really stirred up lately about life and maybe the shortness of life and the situations in our world. And I thought, I want to buckle down and I want to teach this church, amen, with all my heart, everything that they're going to need to make it to heaven. Amen. Everything that they're going to need to change. Amen. I want it to come across this pulpit. I hope that's why you're here today. I hope you want truth. Amen. I'm 50 and I'm changing my ministry. Amen. I put the bottle up and I got the grill out, and we're gonna eat steak from here on out. Amen. Praise God. No more bottle feeding. Amen. I know there's people in all different walks and different pages of their life, and I'm gonna teach Bible studies with bottles, and I'm gonna teach our babies how to live and how to do right. Amen. But I think the congregation needs to go to a new level. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I want to preach about fear and comfort. Amen. And that we need both of them. Praise God. The setting of this verse that I read today was when Saul, who would be called later Paul, his introduction, just a few scriptures before that, his introduction to the apostles. And you can imagine, after Paul had been persecuting people and for living this life, this Acts 2:38 way, and then all of a sudden he says, I'm converted, I'm one of you. It kind of made people hesitate, about like you hesitate when politicians change what they stand for 90 days before election time. That's all the comedy that we're done with it now. Amen. And so when they heard that Paul had changed and he became a preacher of the gospel, they were all concerned. And so there was a man named Barnabas that seen Saul or Paul and realized that he was true and that he was real. And so he was the one that introduced them to the apostles in Jerusalem. And so after they meet, everybody's happy, everybody's in love, and amen, the church is going good. And this is where we find the scripture today. Amen, where the early church was. I believe that the last church ought to have the same blessings the first church did. And I believe we're the last church. Amen. I believe we're the generation upon whom the ends of the world have come. And I believe God wants to give us the same thing He gave them. I think he wants the same miracles to happen at the very end that happened in the very beginning. Hallelujah. I don't believe it starts off with a bang and ends up hiding in a corner somewhere. I believe it started with a bang and it'll end with a bang. And I want to be a part of the big bang. That's my theory. Hallelujah. I want to be part of the revival. I want to be part of people getting the Holy Ghost. I want my hands on people's head when the devil leaves. I want to be holding on to them when they get the Holy Ghost. I want to be praying with them when they get healing. Come on, I'm looking for some people that'll join me in saying, hey, I want to be what the first church was. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The picture of the early church was this. They had rest. Everybody say rest. Amen. Thank the Lord for rest. Amen. Praise God. In the Old Testament, they would take one day off and God would ordain it that it would be rest. But thank the Lord, when you get the Holy Ghost, amen, you're living in the rest then. Amen. Thank God for the New Testament gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. That you can live in the rest on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Amen. I believe in the Sabbath more than anybody. I live the Sabbath. I sleep the Sabbath. I wake up praying. I go to bed praying. I love living in the rest of God. The early church, the Bible said that they had rest. And the Bible said they were edified. Everybody say edified. That word means to be built up. The word actually comes from like a man that would build a house or build a building. Amen. What the Bible was saying is the first church didn't just go through the motion and then stay like they were from then to the end of time. But they walked in and they wanted to grow. Well, hallelujah. There was something inside of them that said, I want to be a better person. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a prayer warrior. I want God to use me. They had a desire to grow. Well, about 20, 30, 40, 50, 100. Come on, I want to be edified every day. I want God to build me up. I want him to change me. Amen. But the Bible said then they walked. Everybody say they walked. This means they lived in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If we're going to be like the first church, we got to learn how to live in the fear of the Lord, in the fear of the Lord, and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, to the carnal mind, that's a strange combination. To live in fear and comfort at the same time. Amen. But when you walk into God's house, everything changes. Everything you thought was going to happen ain't going to happen like you think. It's going to be like how God thinks. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible would say the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Everybody say the natural man. Amen. The natural man can't conceive what God really wants to do. That's why you got to get out of your carnal thinking every now and then and say, God, open my mind up where I can see what you want. Come on, I hope you ain't got the big church blues. Come on, God's wanting to do great things. But you can't think like an old. Like the old man. The natural man. He can't receive the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness unto him. Amen. I've seen people walk into this building, the old building, think, well, they're nonsense. I don't think it takes all that. And I never can get a hold of them again. You know what? They took it the wrong way. I wish I could go flip the switch in their mind where they would see it the right way. But it's something they got to do. It's something you had to do. You would have never got the Holy Ghost until something flipped. I don't know what it is. I don't know how it's going to happen. But I believe it is going to happen. That's what you call faith. The natural man can't receive it. And this is what the Bible said, for their foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Hallelujah. So how can you be in fear and be comforted at the same time? Well, I'm hoping while I'm preaching today, some spiritual discernment happens. If it don't happen, you ain't gonna see it. Because there's not enough words to explain it. But while I preach it, your eyes are gonna have to be opened. Amen. That I need to live in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So how on earth can this happen? I was thinking yesterday how God's ways are higher than our ways. And his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. It takes faith, amen, to believe the word of God. It takes faith to believe that I could have a little bit of fear and a little bit of comfort at the same time. I'm going to preach it today. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach that not only is it healthy for you to have a little bit of fear and a little bit of comfort, it's not just healthy, but I'm going to preach, if you don't get it, you're probably going to be lost. Amen. No sugar today, no milk today. I'm going to preach to you, if you don't get a hold of it, something's going to get you. If you don't get it, something's going to drag you out. Amen. We need a little bit of fear and a little bit of comfort. Help me preach, God. Proverbs 9 and 10, the Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning. Everybody say the beginning. The beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Amen. What is the Bible talking about? Fear or this reverence or this honor, it doesn't just mean that, but it also means a little bit afraid of. If you study the original manuscript, it'll tell you the original word doesn't mean that you just honor God. Well, I honor you because you're pretty big. I reverence you because you're smarter. It ain't just that. You got to do that, but there's also got to be a little fear factor in you. When you get a little fear, a little reverence, and a little honor for God, the Bible said that's the beginning of wisdom. It's the ABCs of wisdom. It's the phonics, can I say it like that? You'll never be wise until you get a fear of God. I don't care how smart you are, how high your IQ is, if you never get a little bit afraid of God, you're never going to grow in wisdom. And let me just go ahead and tell you, to raise children, you need wisdom. To live in this world, you need wisdom. To get along with brethren, you need wisdom. To get along with your spouse, you're going to need wisdom. To do the right thing, you're going to need wisdom. And it begins by fearing God. Hallelujah. A little bit of fear is good for you. No fear is what you would call ignorance. Somebody that would get all puffed up and mad at the house of God and the people of God and the pastor. That's what you call ignorant. spiritually ignorant. Amen. But when you get a fear of God, when you don't like something, you just say, well, it must be me. If something's preached and I don't like it, it must be me. God, forgive me. God, have mercy on me. God, change me. God, don't give up on me, God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to preach. I hope this is okay, because it ain't going to get much better. A little fear will keep you in check. Amen. A little bit of fear will help you make the right decisions. A little bit of fear keeps our world from being total chaos. What keeps the Russians from pulling up in California today and just taking over is the fact that we have a military with enough nuclear power to blow up the world 50 times. And that little bit of fear, I'm not trying to intimidate people. We just want to keep what we got. Amen. If there was no element of fear, there would be no United States of America. Amen. What keeps people going down Highway 70 somewhat safe speeds? Hallelujah. There is a little element of fear that when you make the curve, there'll be a law enforcement officer on the side of the road with a radar pointing at you. That's the only thing keeping you under 120. Praise God. You know when they flash their lights at you? And you... What does that? There's just a little element of fear that I'm about to get a ticket. And if it's 25 over, I may get handcuffed and go back to jail. I say back. I've never been. Hallelujah. I was just speaking third person. Amen. For people that may have been, who knows? Amen. I was blessed. I should have been to jail a few times. But my uncle, Paul Norman's dad, was the chief of police where I grew up. Amen. I got a few phone calls, but I never went to jail. But an element of fear, just a little bit of fear, kind of keeps the traffic moving along. And the reason that your neighbor, when he ran out of milk this morning, didn't just bust up in your house and come and get your milk, there's a little bit of fear that they may get shot. Amen. Praise God. Y'all don't get in line of these two guys right here. Amen. Anything happens, stop, drop, and roll. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. A little bit of fear is good for you. Amen. There was things I didn't do as a child because there was a little element of fear about what would happen if I did it. The reason I never slapped my mama, amen, was because there was a little element of fear in me that if I would have did it, my life would have ended. Hallelujah. Amen. Fear is good for people. Fear will make you do right. Fear will make you act right. Hallelujah. I never asked my dad if he wanted to fight either. There was a reason. There was a little element of fear in there that I may not live through it. Hallelujah. A little bit of fear is good for you. Amen. And a little bit of fear of God, amen, that if you don't do what you're supposed to do, that judgment's going to come, is good for you. Well, hallelujah. I'm going to try to help somebody. Amen. What keeps a saint of God from just going and doing the dumbest things and ruining their life. I'll tell you what would keep me from it is a fear of God. That's why if we need anything, amen, we need a fear of God. People praying for special gifts to be able to do all this stuff. I'll tell you what you need more than that. You need an old-fashioned fear of God, a reverence of God, that if I get out of line, I get out of order. There's a God of order that'll put me back in order. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I love the things of God. I love the blessings of God. But I'm thankful I had a pastor. I'm thankful I had a mama and a daddy that put the fear of God in me, because it kept me from crossing some boundaries that otherwise I would have crossed. I could say thank you, mama. Thank you, daddy in heaven. Thank you, Jesus in heaven. Amen, that you set some... Hallelujah. 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 Amen. You don't have to be perfect to put a fear of God in your babies. Amen. To teach them right. Amen. Teach them the way that they should go. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I want to tell you, the first church walked, the Bible said, in the fear of the Lord. In the fear of the Lord. Amen. I would rather preach the fear of the Lord into you than do you have to experience something. Come on. Hallelujah. I'd rather preach to you. Hey, it would be very smart for you to get a good, healthy dose of the fear of God in you than for God to have to do something in your life to turn you upside down, to put a fear of God in you. Hallelujah. The early church, I'm going to tell you what put a fear of God in them, is that there was a couple named Ananias and Sapphira that walked through the door one day. Amen. Just like everybody else had walked through the door. But this particular couple lied, the Bible said, to the Holy Ghost. And when they lied to the Holy Ghost, they ended up on their back being carried out. And the Bible said great fear came upon all of them. I don't want great fear to come up on us by that. I would rather by intuition. I'd rather the Word of God just put the fear of God in us. Because we're not going to make it until we get a fear of God. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord together. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible would say in Mark the 9th chapter in the 43rd verse, Jesus would say, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Amen. I've heard people say, I don't think they are to preach about hell. I think we are to preach more about hell. You know what? If you get a revelation of what hell's going to be like, it'll put a fear of God in you that'll keep you on the straight and narrow. When you're offended, you'll keep going on the straight and narrow. When you're upset, you'll keep on going if you get a fear of God in you. He said, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Jesus was saying there's a place that's a lake of fire. And if you don't live the life you're supposed to live, you're going to end up in that lake of fire where the worm dieth not. Amen. Every time, I've heard this all my life. And every time I get around a brush fire, I think, my Lord, I don't want to be lost. When I got enough fear of God in me, I walk by a campfire, and it scares me to death to think that I could get something in my spirit that would cause me to be thrown into a lake of fire. Come on. Hallelujah. He said, if your foot offend you, cut it off. You're talking about radical. You got to get a vision of what hell's going to be like. This is Jesus saying this. He's saying, cut your hands off if you can't keep from touching stuff that's going to cause you to be lost. Well, that church is radical. No, Jesus is radical. And if we saw what hell's going to be like, we'd all get a little radical. We'd all say, baby, no, you ain't going to do that. You ain't bringing that into my house. The fear of God will do that to you. Amen. He said, where the fire is not quenched. He said, where the fire will just keep burning and burning and burning for eternity. Hello. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. You know what? I believe in a snowflake sissy generation. I believe God can raise up strong people. Amen. That can handle the Word of God. Amen. Eat the meat of the Word of God. I want to tell you, there is a place called hell. Amen. It was not prepared for humanity. It was prepared, the Bible said. It was created for the devil and his angels. Amen. If anybody ends up in hell, it won't be because it was planned for them. It'll be because they rejected the Word of God. They did not get a fear and a reverence of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need a fear of God. This is what Jesus said. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. He said, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The Bible said he hath not given us a spirit of fear. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't fear him. That means we shouldn't be scared of them. That means there's nothing in this world that ought to scare us to death. But what ought to scare you to death is the one that can take your life and cast you into hell. Amen. Nobody else has the authority to send you anywhere for eternity except for him. And the Bible said you need to fear him. Hallelujah. I'm trying to get somewhere. Amen. It's good to fear the Lord. It's good to fear the judgment of the Lord. Amen. It's good to reverence the things of God. He said, reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. There are to be reverence in this house. There are to, children should be taught to reverence the house of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How would they know except we teach them? Amen. Young people are to learn how to reverence the house of God. The sanctuary is what Jesus, or what God said. He said, I am the Lord. Amen. Praise God. I wish I could preach an hour without having to take a drink, but I have to take a drink every now and then. Amen. But y'all pray that God would help me do it. I don't even want a water bottle in this building. Amen. God has dealt with my spirit. Amen. Maybe because it don't ever stop with water. Maybe it's because it changes to Kool-Aid and Mountain Dew and Dr. Pepper. Amen. But I know we got coffee shops, we got water fountains, but this little 70 by 70, I want to dedicate it as the sanctuary of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I want it to be reverenced. I want people to be in awe when they walk in here. I want them to feel the power of God when they walk into this place. Amen. I'm preaching the fear of God today. Amen. I didn't just come up with this. Amen. God's been dealing with me about this for a long time. And I walked through the old sanctuary and there were big stains all over the carpet. And it wasn't my oil spilling, I promise you. These stains this big and it just grieved my spirit. Amen. When I began to think about the Corinthian church. Amen. And when it was time for the Lord's Supper. Amen. It should have been a little morsel and a little drop or little bitty thing of juice or whatever. Amen. They were bringing big old meals into the sanctuary. They weren't reverencing the house of God. Amen. Instead of the Lord's Supper, where it was something that commemorates the blood and the body, they thought, well, it's a buffet Sunday. And they would bring everything in and they would have big old meals and just party and laugh. And amen. And the Bible said, and many are sick and dead because of this. And I thought, my Lord, I got to teach the people of Calvary Pentecostal Church. Amen. I don't want anybody to receive the judgment of God upon their life. I want to teach people to reverence the things of God and the house of God so that we would be blessed. I want the favor of God on you. I don't want God mad at you. I hope you feel my heart today. Amen. I'm preaching from a burden today. If we never learn how to fear the Lord, we're going to be in trouble. Fear the Lord will help you when temptation comes. It'll help you do the right thing. Amen. I hope this is okay, but it ain't going to. It is what it is. The fear of the Lord will make a way of escape and let you run out. Don't tell me I got trapped into it when my Bible said he would make a way of escape. Don't tell me there wasn't a way out. There is a way out of every situation. Nobody has to fall into sin. Everybody can get out of it. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to the Lord together. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The fear of the Lord will help you not look at things you shouldn't look at. Amen. Anybody that would get on the internet and look at stuff they shouldn't be looking at, amen, has no fear of God. You hear me? They have no fear of God. Any man that's head spins like it's got a spring on it when a woman walks by has no fear of God in them. You hear me? I'm telling you, God will make a way. Everybody understands the biology of men and women, but you got to understand that there are parameters in everybody's life. There is structure in relationships. God designed a marriage between a man and one woman. One man, one woman, not looking at all the other women, not thinking about all the other men. You got to get a fear of God in you, or you're going to end up in a red hot hell. Hey, we got to get a hold of the, got to take your flesh by the nap of the neck. I got fear in my soul right now. I'm trying to pull people out of the flames. Hey, you better get more scared of God than you are a divorce. Lift your hands to the Lord together. God, help us. Help us, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. The fear of the Lord will help our children not get curses put on them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, mom and daddy. Come on, grandma and grandpa. Teach our young people to reverence the things of God. teach them to not put their fingers on the things of God. Hey, if there's something you don't understand, by all means, don't pass it down to another generation and let your children be cursed. If there's something you don't understand in this church, I've got a wide open door policy. Come talk to me anytime. You may talk me out of something, but probably not. I'll probably educate you. Hey, amen. There's a reason I do everything that I do. Hey, amen. There's thought goes behind everything that I say. Hey, amen. I can't preach more than the Bible. Hey, amen. I can't preach less than the Bible. Hey, amen. I'm going to preach it. Amen. And if you don't understand it, don't go home with your babies around the table and say, well, I don't think it takes all that. What you did, you ripped the fear of God out of your baby's life, and they're on their way to a red hot hell. Amen. Come on. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's to fear the Lord. Hallelujah. If you don't understand it, get your Bible out and read it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. We need a fear of God. Young couples need a fear of God. Young couples need a fear of God. Amen. Be careful getting too familiar with other couples. Like, don't get too familiar in their home. And around. I know this is old preaching, but the old people made it to heaven. Hey, man, don't get real, like, familiar with too familiar. Do you know what I'm preaching about? I don't even know how to say it, really. Hey, amen. Don't wear out your welcome. Hey, amen. When it's time to go to bed, leave. Hey, amen. Come on, I'm preaching. Hallelujah. In the fear of God. Amen. Bad things start happening in familiarity. Why not keep walls up? Amen. One husband don't need to be texting somebody else's wife and getting familiar and comfortable, talking, and this wife's talking to this man. And I know there's times you have to communicate. Amen, but you ought to keep it to a minimum, and definitely all business, and definitely far and few between. Amen, be careful putting your hands on people. Don't rub me on the back. I don't need a back rub. I don't need a massage by. I don't want a man massaging me. I don't want a woman massaging me or anybody else. Amen, we need to maintain lines and boundaries in the fear of God. Amen. There's covenants and marriages, and keep your hands off people. Hallelujah. I don't even know who I'm preaching to, but I'm having fun right now. Amen. I'm telling you, I don't even know what time it is. Amen. Long before you commit adultery, there'll be a lot of things you've got to crawl over. There's a lot of barriers you got to get over. You know what I decided? I ain't going over the first barrier. If you just stay on this side of the very first barrier, your marriage will be wonderful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Young couples, keep the fear of God. Senior couples, senior saints, don't lose the fear of God. On the last mile of your journey, don't think, well, hey, I'm a lot older than that preacher is. I'm going to tell you, you can get in trouble. Well, I had the Holy Ghost longer than he's been alive. Well, God don't care. God put me to pastor this church, and there's boundaries that need to be established. Don't let your mind wander. Don't become a know-it-all and end up crossing and losing the fear of God and end up lost. I'm going to tell you, the blessing, one of the great blessings of the first church is that they feared God. Amen. What is the fear of the Lord? This is what the Bible says in Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. I can tell you when somebody fears the Lord is when evil starts happening, they start getting out of town. Let me get my watch so I don't get too far out of bounds. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And not just that. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way. I'm going to tell you when evil makes you sick. When evil is repulsive to you, you're pretty much probably living in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord has begun to mold the way you think when evil begins to make you sick to your stomach. I'm just preaching a while. Amen. But not just that. It says, and the froward mouth do I hate. I want to tell you. You get the fear of the Lord, a froward mouth will make you sick. I want to tell you, a froward mouth don't need an audience in any saint of God's ear. Hallelujah. Now that you clapped, I'll tell you what it means. Froward is used to describe someone who is crooked, who is deceitful, or perverse. It also means someone who is unwilling to comply with what is required or who is habitually disobedient. That's a froward man, a froward woman. It's somebody you ain't gonna tell them what to do. I'll tell you, when you see that spirit, you need to hit decline on your phone. Thank you, Brother Gee, for waving at me. Don't let a froward mouth get in your ear. You'll have a froward ear before it's over. And then a froward heart. And then you'll be lost. You better learn how to get a fear of God in you. When somebody talks about your church, your God, your pastor, your wife, your husband, your brethren, click, click, hallelujah. Give us a fear of God. I'd be scared if somebody called me today and started talking about my pastor. Brother Holmes this, Brother Holmes that. Brother Holmes did this, Brother Holmes did that. He's whatever. You know what I would do? I'd say, hey, man, you need to call somebody else. I know a man is a man, and every man I've ever known has made mistakes. Amen, and I make mistakes and make bad judgments, and you do too. Amen, but you got to be careful what you put your fingers on. Hallelujah. David said, I'm not going to touch Saul. I don't care if Saul did wrong. I ain't going to touch him. Amen, I'm going to let God deal with everything, everywhere. Hallelujah. Amen. And my pastor ain't never done wrong. He's an angel from heaven. Hallelujah. Far as I know, I don't know. Amen. Praise God. I'm praying, God, I want a biblically ordained fear of God. Not one that man tries to put on people. But I want a fear of God that comes down from heaven. This is what you ought to be praying. It'll help you make good decisions. God, let a biblically ordained, powerful fear of God come upon my spirit every day. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, half your battle will be won if you just get a fear of God. Half of your troubles will be over if you get a fear of God. Can I say it like this? Your teenagers won't have to get drugged through the mud. They won't have to have the scars of life if you'll put a fear of God in them. There'll be, you know what's so beautiful? My daughter was the valedictorian at her Christian school, and she had to do a speech, and she's real shy like me. And she was like, I don't know what to say.
Dad, and she's asking me, Dad, what should I say? And she was just terrified. I said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to write a speech about all the things that you missed by being raised in church. She wrote it. I missed out on the taste of drugs. I missed out on teenage pregnancy. I missed out on addiction. I missed out on being homeless. I missed out on being divorced and remarried. In other words, don't feel sorry for me. I had a fear of God in me. I'm telling you, if you want your children to miss out on some stuff, put the fear of God in them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Everybody say we need a fear of God. The first church lived their life in the fear of God. But they didn't just live in the fear of God. They lived in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Do you know churches today are even scared to talk about the Holy Ghost? Because they don't know what it is. And they don't know how to get it. And they never seen anybody get it. And they're afraid if somebody gets it, they'll be more holy than the pastor is. Well, hallelujah. The two things that created the power in the first church don't exist in today's New Age church. There's no fear of God, and there's no Holy Ghost. There's no wonder the churches are dead. No wonder they're empty. My Lord, if there was no fear of being lost, why would you get up and get dressed today? If you didn't think there was a hell that you could end up going to, why would you waste your gas money to go to church? When the stripers are running and the deer are getting ready to shed that velvet. Amen. There's a lot of reasons you wouldn't need to be here today, except that there's a hell for people that ain't living the lie. Praise God, it's getting tight in here. They lived in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. You need them both. You can't have fear and not have the comforter. Fear will only last for so long. Somebody bows up on you, you get scared. They bow up on you tomorrow, you get scared. They bow up on you the third day, you get scared. But eventually, the fear is going to run out. And finally, you get to the point, well, let's just see what happens. Amen. And that's where a lot of people fall out of their walk with God. They've been taught. They've been beat down. They have been blah. Until it's just an echo. But they've never got the comfort of the Holy Ghost. When you get the Holy Ghost, you get joy unspeakable. And full. Well, I don't know if it takes. Well, let me just preach to you. Hallelujah. Jesus said, except the man is born of the water and of the Spirit. Everybody say spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That means without the Holy Ghost, you're not going anywhere. If that same spirit that raised the body of Christ from the dead, if that spirit dwells in you, it'll quicken your mortal body by that same You know what the Bible's saying? If you don't get the Holy Ghost, there's nothing to raise you up with. He said, without the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. Now, the first church understood, I got to fear the Lord, but I got to get the Holy Ghost too. Let me tell you, have you ever had a little, one of my favorite flavors is sweet and spicy. A little bit of this. Can I preach how you're going to make it to heaven? You need to get a little bit of fear in you. There ought to be enough fear to get you out of bed. And there ought to be enough love in your spirit. There ought to be enough Holy Ghost. Amen. That makes you want to do right and act right. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not going to preach much longer. The Holy Ghost is the fulfillment of the prophecy. Amen. Isaiah would say, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people to whom he said, this is the, everybody say the rest. The rest. This is the Sabbath wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. It was the stammering lips and another tongue. Amen. Jesus would say it like this in John 7 and 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers, not drops, rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit. Everybody say Spirit. Which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. You got to get the Holy Ghost. You got to get a fear of God. This is what the Bible said. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. I'll tell you, can I say it like this? The fear of God will suppress certain things in your life. And the Spirit will bring certain things in your life to life. The fear of God will make certain things die that need to die. The Word of God, the commandments of God will make things that need to die, die. But the Holy Ghost will make things that need to come alive, come alive. What do you need? What do you need the most? You need them both. You need a preacher. Let me tell you about the original preacher. His name was Simon Peter, and he preached about hell, and he preached about tribulation. The very first message, he preached about the end of the world, and then he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. He preached fear, and he preached comfort. Why did you do it, Simon Peter? Because I got the keys to the kingdom, and they need them both. They need to know it matters. Our world is wrapping up. Stand together with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I hope you understand my burden today. Hallelujah. You can't have one without the other, or you're out of balance. Listen to me for 90 seconds. You got to have them both. You know what the most dangerous person is? One Holy Ghost filled with no fear of God. No pastor in their life. No leadership. Nothing to suppress them. But they got the Holy Ghost. They speak in tongues. Most dangerous people on the planet. You know what the saddest person on the planet is? The one that fears God, but they've never got the comforter. They lay awake worrying about life and the end of the time and tribulation and rapture and all these things and the judgments of God and the white horse and the red horse and black horse. I don't know all the horses. And the seals and all the books. And they lay awake scared to death. They fear God. You need a little bit of that. But you need to get the Holy Ghost to balance out your life. Help you live a balance. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord together.
I pray the Comforter comes upon everybody in this house. Oh, da, da, da. Da, da. 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 Come on, whatever you need, ask God to give it to you right now. If you've never spoken tongues, come down to this front. Amen. If you need God to help you, come down to this front. If you want God to give you an old-fashioned biblical fear that will help you do right, come down to this front. Hallelujah. Come on, God's wanting to impart some things. Come on. The first church had such a beautiful balance. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Come on, let's take a few moments and talk to God. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. I feel. Come on, I feel God wanting to reach down and touch people. Come on, let's turn it into a prayer room. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, a fear of God and make you act right. Fear of God to change the way you appear. Change the way you say things. Come on. I'm praying for impartation right now. God, you see what's lacking. You see what's lacking, God. You see where the needs are. Come on, pray until the Holy Ghost begins to pray through you. Everybody in this house, pray.